So before I pray us to begin, I just want, y'all know me, I'm Archie. If you don't, you're living under a rock. I'm just saying. But okay, so a lot of people in here, there's a couple like Jones, who else? I don't know. A couple people in here that knows what happened to me when I was young. A lot of y'all don't. I should have shared this way before. But so I was 7, so about 9, almost 10 years ago. It was on a Mother's Day on a Sunday. It was in May. We went to our cousin's pool. And so while we were there, I was running by the pool. My mom said, don't run. The crazy thing is, though, we never heard. I was just missing for like a couple minutes after she said that. I was nowhere to be found. There was no splash, nothing. It turned out I was in the bottom of the pool. My mom saw God showed my mom a vision of me in the bottom of the pool saying, help, Mom. So she was going to jump in. It was cloudy, the pool, so you could not see the bottom. And I was a tiny thing back then, believe it or not. And so she was going to jump in and something held her back. She couldn't move forward. Like, she could not go in the pool. So my cousin went in and brought me up. I was lifeless, gray eyes. I was down there 5 minutes, and back then I couldn't, like, hold much water in. So I was dead after 2 minutes. And for 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, I had no pulse, nothing. And so when she brought me up, my mom, no one knew how to do CPR, no one. There was like no one that knew how to do CPR but my mom. She knew the old way, threes and threes, but I was revived there and then taken to the high school parking lot, flown to Jacksonville. I was supposed to go to, I forgot the name of this place, it was a hospital, but on the way there, they transferred me to a Christian hospital in Jacksonville. And when I got there, I was unconscious for 4 days and 4 nights. The 5th night I woke up and I was able to go home the 6th day. And I made it to church that Sunday, the Sunday after my drowning. It's crazy how God works. I missed Wednesday, but I didn't miss church. I was able to go back to church. And my mom, I was young. My mom shared my testimony then. But it was just crazy how God works. So with that, I'm going to pray us to begin the word. And I just wanted to let y'all know my testimony. All right. Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you for the opportunity to do this. And just thank you for letting us come to worship you freely. We're lucky. Some countries don't even get the opportunity to go to church. Or they might be killed if they do. And I just want the Holy Spirit to work through me. And let everybody's eyes be opened and ears listening. And just work through me to them. And just let us learn something today and live out what we learn. And let us thank you through it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my topic is growing in love. So my first point is, you can move the slide. What does the world think about love? The world thinks love is, what can they do for me? Like, it's about me. It's about affection and benefits from them. Like, what can I get out of it? But you can go to the next point. This is the first point. That was just a little thing. I don't know. This is the first point. I can see it right there, too. Love isn't what somebody can do for you. It's not what they can do for you. If you think of it that way, you're just not getting the full picture of it. So I'll give you a second to write that down. I have something right here. If you love, it should not just be about you. Stop thinking about yourself. We should be selfless. Selfless is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Loving shouldn't be about me. It should be selfless. Y'all got it? Y'all can go. You can go to the next one. This is the second point. I got them back to back. What if we, instead of saying what they can do for me, we say what can I do for them? So it goes back to being selfless by thinking of how can I help them. If you just live out life saying, how can I do this for them, instead of saying what can they do for me, it'll make you a better person. It'll make you more selfless and overall more like connected to God, I guess you could say. Yeah. So there's power in not thinking about yourself. We're pride, human, we're prideful. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. What did we want from the beginning? We wanted our will. But I'm saying that what God's saying is God's will. It's not our own will. It's not what our choices is. We need to follow Him. We need to have... Pastor Justin was talking about how the laws are your track. They're your guide. They shouldn't be something you fear. Same with your will. You should follow God's will. It's like His will is like the tracks for your train. If you live life with His will in it and actually help others, because our goal as Christians is to go be fishers of men, disciple to others. If we start helping other people, it shows what kind of Christians we really are. It reflects our church. What we do reflects our church. What we do reflects who we are as Christians and as our relationship with God. So you can go to the next point. What does Jesus think about love? Let's see. I got a couple, two verses here. First verse, please. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So this is saying, it's like Jesus to us, the greatest love there ever was. God gave His Son to die for us on the cross. He's saying you want to have that kind of love where you would put somebody before yourself. That's giving up your pride, basically. That's just laying yourself down. And it's hard because we're human. We're going to mess up. But God's saying we need to... It's basically saying don't think about what we want to do. We need to think about what God wants us to do. So it goes back to being... That's a perfect example, that verse right there. That's a perfect example of selfless. To lay your own self down for God, just think about... for a friend, just think about that. He wants us to love so much that we would actually rather choose their life over our own life. That's a big thing. That is not something you see these days. That is not something that is shared these days. That's something that's overlooked, I feel like. And that verse means a lot there, because that was God's love to us, giving His Son to die on the cross for us. He humbled Himself. He brought Himself down. It humbles you. Love should humble you. You can write that down. I just thought of that. Hey, God's speaking. Okay, you can go to the next verse. Beloved, it's John, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's saying that God is love. It's saying that when we love, it should reflect God. It's saying it should reflect Him. We should be a mirror when we love. It should be biblical. It should be by the Bible. And if we don't love right, we're basically not like showing God right. It goes to show your actions affect a lot of things. It shows a lot. It shows your inner self. It shows what you believe. Because God is love, so we should strive to be better at it every day. God, Jesus, we're supposed to live like Jesus. We could never accomplish that, but we should try. And it's saying, God is love, so when we love, we should be like God while we're doing it. It should be something that's just pure and good. All right, next one, please. Love should make us pure, not sin. Love shouldn't be something that's of this world. It shouldn't make us sin, be evil. It should make us a better Christian. Like I say here, love is pure and not evil. It is good. It is something that should reflect God once again. It's something that should be holy almost. Love is like holy. It's God's greatest, Jesus is God's greatest gift to us, but the second one is love. Love is, it's a powerful thing how you do it. You got to make sure you do it right. The world's going to tell you the opposite of what God's going to tell you. You got to make sure you follow God and not the world, because the world will corrupt you, but God will make you love abundantly. It'll be graceful. It'll be pure. It'll be heavenly. You can think of love as pure as heaven. That's what God's saying. It's pure. It's like one of the most holy things there is. And you can go to the next one. What does it mean to grow in love? There's a great verse on this. If you would pull that up, please. Ephesians 4:15-16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. Pastor Philip gave me a book about Ephesians, and I got to actually, it talked about the step breakdown of this verse. I kind of summed it up for you. In verse 15, it's talking about how can we stay true in love, but not just that, but how can we also grow in it, not just know what love is. But we need to learn how to incorporate it into our lives, how we can grow to become better at it. We need to grow in it. It's something that should be a root in us and sprout and become beautiful and big. It should just consume us. And verse 16 I have right here is talking about unity. As like we were talking about in D now, we are, as Christians, one in Christ. We all are different, but we are all the same body. And Jesus is the head, the God. So, we should love. It's saying love should be just our everyday path. It's saying that we are all different in this room. We're not the same. We're not the same. God made us all unique and wonderfully made, something like that. But we all have the same purpose. It might look different, but the goal is still the same. There's different, like soccer team, there's defense, striker, midfield, goalie. But they all have the same goal in mind. As Christians, our goal is to basically go out and make disciples. It's to lead people to Christ. It's to show love. The ultimate love is trying to help your brother and sister. It's trying to get them to where they're going, to where we want to go, heaven. It's trying to make sure we get as many people as we can into heaven through God. Because Pastor Justin was talking about it. If we look backwards, look from eternity till now, then now to eternity. If we looked at where we're going, if we looked at where we would be, by the decisions we make now, it'll be different. I really feel that. And a big part of being Christian is sharing the gospel. There's multiple opportunities. I've struggled with this. I have not taken as many opportunities as I should have. But realistically, at least one person every day, you could have the opportunity to change their life. There's more opportunities than you think. I'm too busy. I've heard so many excuses. It's even from like non-believers. Well, that's believers, but that don't go to church anymore. They're too busy with work. There's a chance in your day when you could have God first. You should have Him first every day. There's a chance when you could do something for God every day. It might not seem like it, but you, if you look, if you just took the chance and look, you may could eat a little faster at lunch and then talk to, or go sit by this person that's alone. Or just this person in the hallway that doesn't look like they're okay, talk to them. Or smile. Sometimes one smile is bigger than anything. It can make someone say, I don't know how many times I can tell you. I've smiled at someone and it seems like they've never been smiled to. It just makes their whole day. One little thing. And so unity is a big part of love. Being unified together and loving God and living it out. And it's a big thing. I got this in a question. Y'all fixing to break up into groups and answer a couple questions. But loving your enemies. Go to the next slide. I think I got another slide. How can we grow in love? There it is. Learn to love your enemies. That's hard to do, I know. It is really hard as humans to love our enemies. But we're just as bad as they are. We're all sinners. God chooses to love us. Why shouldn't we choose to love others? Especially people that we're against. It's a big thing to think about that. Because it's hard. It's like really hard. But there's like a spiritual growth. And just something spiritual about learning to love your enemies. I've learned to love my enemies. Don't mean I want to talk to them every day or nothing. But pray for them. It's as simple as just giving them the time of day to pray. Just your own little prayer for them. And another one is live like Christ. If we lived like Christ, I said we'll never be able to do that. But if we try to, how much better would our life be? How much better would we look like in the Christian walk? How much better would our relationship with God be? Third thing, make Christ your everyday life. If we make Christ our everyday life and thought of Him every day, how many bad decisions would turn to good decisions? How many regrets would turn to happiness? When you make Christ your everyday life, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about Him. And therefore, when you think about Him, it's harder to sin. I'm not saying you're not going to be perfect. But you can try to be like Him. And if you make Christ your everyday life, it'll just make your life so much better. It'll make you happier. The more you sin, the more distance you get from God, the more you spiral into sin causes you to sin. A lie causes you to lie. This causes you to this. The more you sin, the more you're going to sin. It starts with the one sin and then it just trickles down. What if instead of sinning we chose Christ? Instead of thinking about us, we choose Christ. How would that make our life better? And focus not on your will, but God's will. I was talking about this earlier. If we really focused on God's will, we would be so much happier. We would be so much connected. We would be so much like, I can't describe, like right in the mind. I don't know. Our spirit would be better. Our temple would be better. Our holy temple inside of us, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The bigger it grows, the bigger our spiritual life grows. The more we can focus on God's will, the more opportunities He will give us. And so overall, I talked about God's will, I talked about love. God's will is to love. And by loving, you are doing what God says through the Bible, through the verses, and you are making Him your everyday life. That will really help you grow in love and grow in Him. It's hard, but don't mean it's impossible. We're going to mess up, but don't mean we're not going to be better than we are. Saying, there's so many people I've spoke to that just say, I'm already going to mess up, why not? If you think that way, you will never get anything accomplished in your lives. You got to think more about God and less about yourself. I was a couple weeks ago in small groups, I was saying, God humbles us. Just to think about how big He is and how little we are, yet He chooses us to do His work as sinners. I would never understand it, but what's the point in serving a God we understand? If we understood God, why would it be such a big deal to us for Him to be God? There's a reason we have someone over us. Our parents know more than we do, right? Yes, they do, even though we don't think it sometimes. I can admit to that. But overall, they know the better. They know what's good for us. We don't have to understand our parents to trust in our parents. We don't have to understand God to trust in God. We just have to understand that we can't understand. But we should be thankful that we don't. Because with that understanding comes a lot of power and just, it'll make you God, basically, if you understood God. But there's a reason we're not God. There's a reason He chose us to follow Him and not us to follow our own self. So with that, would you say to live like Christ, love better, love your enemies and pray for them, and just take time out of your day to love God and to love others and to just have a moment with God. It'll make your life so much better. I know these past couple months I've really started focusing more on God and not myself. And it's just been amazing how many doors He's opened. So a couple months ago I started really getting into God, like in Him. And like a week later, there's this dude that came up to me, said he just got saved. He wanted me to help him. It has to do with how you present yourself also. I presented myself in such a manner that he was okay with trusting me to guide him. If we acted like a Christian and less like the world, people would not like us more. They would be able to trust us more. Because what are you going to do? You have that friend that hasn't really trusting God, and then they do, but they see you over there sinning. What is that showing them? That shows them they can't trust you, that you don't know, you must not know, or it shows them that it's okay. But we need to live life like Christ so people can trust us to help guide them to God. Yeah, so with that, I want to close this out, and then I got y'all some questions, groups 4 to 6. Around there, split up in groups, and just answer some questions with each other. So I'll pray us out, and then y'all can do that. Lord, thank you for this day, and just thank you for speaking through me, and thank you for everyone that choose time out of their day to come here. It's sad how many people choose to stay at home than come to church. But I thank you for these people coming here to learn more about you. Let us be safe when we leave. Let us live through you, and let us live like you, and just love better, and just be a better Christian, and just open. I want to open you to open doors to them, and just show them what it really means to know you, and just bless them, bless their lives, help them understand you better, and understand that it's not about them. Understand that you are God and we are not. And just help their lives and just bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.